Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. So, during last week, I was having a conversation with an old man, one who constantly acknowledges by report that I'm a preacher, who made a comment and said, are you saving a lot of souls, Don? And I said, it's not my job to save souls, but to keep those saved whom God is saving. And we do this by teaching the Word of God. For Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds out of the mouth of God. I hope all of you who are participating in the God School or who have just recently come across this teaching are continuing by the power of God through faith, that which we taught last week, exercising faith. A short time ago, I was listening to a guy who is of high repute in the quote-unquote Christian church, Christian movement, who said, you know, if you just trust God and obey Him, He will bless you. And the emphasis was on, seen blessing. And though I, as a man, liked the message, as one sent of God, I know our salvation is not dependent upon quote-unquote, seen blessings. It's a relationship by faith. And the a description of faith is given in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. 1 Corinthians 5 says, we walk not by sight, but by faith. So, with the preliminaries out of the way, let's get into the teaching today. We encounter the prophet Elijah in the 18th, 19th chapters of the book of Kings, first book of Kings. And he has several encounters with men and women who come up with the phrase, when they see Elijah, the Lord thy God liveth. But the man of God says, the Lord thy God liveth, in whose presence I am. An awareness of the unseen presence of God. I want you to turn to your Bibles, turn in your Bible to Psalms 42 and 43. I have in my Bible what some might call a graph, and it's a line going up, going down, going up, going down, going up, going down, going up, going down, going up. And I've got a little phrase, and it says, the Father's journey. This is, we encounter in these Psalms, the Father's journey. If you're listening to this, like me, you're not home yet. The psalmist opens and says, and this is called a mishal. It's a one for instruction, if you will. And I would say one for illumination. As the heart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God. My soul. The word is nephesh. We first encounter it wherein it says in Genesis, and God breathed into Adam, and he became a living soul, the essence of God's creation. When he said, let us make man in our image. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? See, he's with us. He ain't home yet either. He laments, my tears have been my meat day and night. I can relate to this one. I've got a problem with my eye, and tears have been running for days. My tears have been my meat day and night. this guy's having some kind of a problem. And it says, well, they continually say unto me, where is thy God? You know, it's a way of Satan. If there's a situation where God's presence doesn't seem to be there, he piles on to that situation and says, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had, past tense, he's remembering, I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. To the one, whom God has chosen, every day should be a holy day. I'm reminded of Paul saying in the fourth chapter of 1 Corinthians, though the outward man is proper, translation is perishing, the inward man is renewed day by day. Today, if you will, day by day, if it's today, being renewed day by day, the inward man, my soul. Upon, you know, thinking that the high day, the holy day here, was the apex of the relationship. He begins to say, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. He said, but, I'm sorry, I missed the verse. After remembering that what he believed to be the apex, he says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? And he answers the question through God's word and says, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. King James says, for the help of his countenance. I want you to circle that verse. We're going to come back to it. Oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites, and of the hill of Miser, the little hill. He's drawing back on old memories. And then he says, deep calleth unto deep. This ain't the kiddie pool, folks. This is the deep end of the sea. While we're on the journey, deep calleth unto deep, the noise of thy water spouts. All thy waves and billows are gone over me. Oh, man, it's... He's saying, I could hardly stand it. But the response is, yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the day, in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me. And my prayer unto God, unto the God of my life. I'm reminded, just to let you know, of Paul's testimony in the 16th chapter of the book of Philippians, wherein he describes for preaching the gospel, he and Silas are not only tossed in prison, but put in chains in the darkest part of the prison. And at midnight, they say, let me give you the exact quote, I hope. I'm getting there, folks. Hang in there with me. In the 25th verse, it says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners listened. How many of you? Let me include myself. How many of us, while on this journey of faith, while attempting to communicate the gospel, the good news, the God spiel, the word of God, which is good, under which we have been influenced, how many of us have been thrown in the darkest prisons and put in chains? Yet Paul's testimony is they prayed and sang praises to God. Back to Psalm 42. I will say unto God, my rock. This word in the Hebrew, there's two different words that are translated into English, rock, from the Hebrew. This word is sila, and it's a cleft rock. And we have that wonderful old hymn of the church, Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Yet even with the declaration that this psalmist is saying, he says, I will say unto God, my cleft rock, cleft for me, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is your God? If you're pointing around to your circumstance of wealth and no trials, no tribulations, no temptings. Look how God has blessed me, and point and say, there's my God. I'm telling you, you're pointing in the wrong direction. But the psalmist responds and says, "Why?" Again, a second time, "Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Little different twist on that fifth verse of this 42nd Psalm. I want you to circle this 11th verse of Psalm 42. Psalm 43 is a continuation of 42. And the psalmist continues and he says, "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against the ungodly nation." King James offers the alternative translation, "against an unmerciful nation." I move to say this in light of the current hyperbole that's going on 24 hours a day on the news cycle and 24 hours a day out of these goddamn politicians against this nation, whom God formed, against this nation whom, when they met, those men, authors of the Constitution of the United States, probably, I'm going to say this, and it's going to shock some people and hopefully encourage others. In the ages of the church, they had church councils. Canonized scripture, who gave us canon law after canon law, and these supposedly were men under the influence of God. I want to tell you, in history, there was probably never a council of men in the history of mankind who were more influenced by the Word of God than those men that met and created the not only the Declaration of Independence, but the Constitution of the United States of America. It's not an unmerciful nation. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Oh, deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. Whew. Think on that. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? Oh, send out thy light, his prayer, and thy truth, and let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and to thy tabernacles. He says, you know, once you do that, God, then I will go unto the altar of God. folks. Faith, it's continuous. Trusting, grabbing hold of, acting on the Word of God. The man of faith doesn't need to be brought to his holy hill. The man of faith understands his holy hill, which is a type of God, is always with him. But the psalmist says, then I will go unto the altar of God, unto God, my exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp I will praise thee, O God, my God. And then that same refrain found in the 5th and 11th verses of Psalm 42, we encounter again. This is that up and down, up and down. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God. Why? Because God is bigger than any circumstance that we might find ourselves in. And he irons himself, he strengthens himself, and he says, for I shall yet praise him, like Paul and Silas, who is the health of my countenance. And my God, I love the Word of God. For God is a repeater of his word where he wants to emphasize something. Last week, I think we touched on a part of this verse. I want to go through more of it today. In the book of the prophet Micah, in the 7th chapter, let me ask you a question. If this kind of doesn't describe part of our circumstance today, for the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. There's a confident statement. Of the faith's relationship with God. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him. Until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me, we can go we go to the New Testament and we understand. In Jesus Christ, God has executed judgment for us, for he laid upon him all our iniquities, all our sins, all our transgressions. He will bring me forth to the light. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He will bring me forth to Jesus. I shall behold his righteousness, that his covenant keeping that he said he would do. Then, and I love this, it's added by the translators, but I love it anyway. Then, she that is mine enemy, talking about the devil here, shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? I hope you're getting this along with me, folks. Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire in the streets. The book of Micah closes. It says, who is a God like unto thee, that pardoneth iniquity, that passes by the transgressions of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delights in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon me. He will subdue our iniquities. And thou shalt cast their sins into the depths of the sea. And as we said last week, into the depths of the sea of his forgetfulness. Thou wilt perform the truth of Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. This Hebrew word being translated sworn, the word is shabua. It means, listen, to seven oneself. Seven is the number of completion. It means to make complete. It means feed to the fullness. That enemy who in Psalm 42 and Psalm 43 and Micah 7, who says, where is your God? The chosen of God has the opportunity and should grab hold of it and say, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. The Hebrew here in all, the fifth verse of Psalm 42, the 11th verse of Psalm 42, the fifth verse of Psalm 43, the word being translated is Yeshua. Is Jesus, who is the health of my countenance. This word is, in its meaning, is multi-part, but it incorporates face. It incorporates looking upon. It incorporates presence. For I shall yet praise him who is Jesus, who is present with me. And I will say, as a prayer to end this message, who is our God? That's the God School for today.